Green Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Women Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
This is not a revolution. It is the inevitable evolution of a society globally. And from the Atlantic side of Florida and Occupy Lake Worth, now Occupy, I'm Gwendolyn H. Berry, and this is October 9th, Sunday, and here be monsters, and I want to wish him a happy birthday, John Lennon. It should be noted that the Railroad Workers United are supporting the occupation now also.
Great.
Jesse Ventura would love to put his face to the political face of the movement.
Yes.
And we're occupied in Minneapolis with Jack Jodell.
Hi, everybody. Hope you're having a great day, and I hope you're having good occupations wherever you are.
It's really growing quite a bit. You know, Kevin Blanche called before before the show, as I was telling you when we hooked up here, that he's going to give us a call in the middle of the show. He's
great.
Been to like three different major Occupy or occupations around the area, and a big hello to Commander Krell there. David's listening with us.
Good. Hope
hey,
you're feeling
David.
Better.
I do too. And it's also John Lennon's birthday today.
Yeah.
I debated whether we should open up with yet again another round of Imagine,
yeah.
You know,
well, I hate to say it, but he'd be 70 years old today. Or 71. Isn't that unbelievable?
Unbelievable, yeah, but I got to tell you, Jack, Occupation Lake Worth, at Occupy Lake Worth, there
great.
Were members of the Greatest Generation there,
mm-hmm.
who got up
yeah.
on stage, and I got a little piece of film on it that I'll record
cool.
and use as a soundbite this week. And he talked about how they went to war and how they came home and built a country
right.
and how they invested everything into future generations. They never
right.
counted on this. They're goddamn angry about it, and
oh,
they're
yeah.
going to occupy too.
Good. Well, that's great news. Yeah, they
We're
should
talking.
Because they're getting screwed too.
Yeah.
They
occupy
are.
Bug Tussle. Okay.
Yeah.
They
well,
are. They are very much a part of what is going wrong right now because their Medicare is being dallied with. Their Social Security that they know is solid is being, you know,
tampered
grasping,
with.
Yeah, the grasping hands of the greedy politicians
uh-huh.
on both sides. This is
Republicrat
yeah. territory now.
Sure,
we're
sure.
way out of, we're way, way far away from two-party operations anymore.
Right.
And this gentleman stood with the microphone, or, you know, we had a little microphone, but we were doing the mic check, you know,
mm-hmm.
the amplification of Wall Street.
Right.
Did you all do that?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was good that they did that, and they also did the same thing, because our we weren't allowed microphones in Minneapolis here, or megaphones. So they just did the shouts where everybody, you know, shouted what the speaker said back to the crowd, and it worked out real well. So
we had that going on too. And my younger sister was doing the picture taking and sort of trying to film, and she was up on the stage behind everybody when this was going on with a few of the other protesters and the speakers and people holding placards and such. And she was the only one up there with the Guy Fawkes mask on.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, the cameras of all the news crews sort of focused on her a bit.
Oh, a star.
She made it to all the news reels.
Oh,
in
great.
Fact, at least Occupation, and it's become Occupy more than just Occupy Lake Worth. It's now Occupy Palm Beach County, because the other little towns like Boca Raton, Del Rey, and Palm Beach, nobody really showed up at those, but they did here at our little dissonant burg. And so
I was going to say, for you to have, 250 a show? That's outstanding for your part of the country there, which isn't all that, megalopolis style. So, great. That's fabulous.
It's quite true.
Yeah.
Did you hear, Jack, about what went on? Kevin Trainor, who has been creating a documentary ongoing with the October 2011 group, he posted onto Facebook a film, and I don't know if you all have heard about it in the news or anything. It hasn't been on the news, but the regular.
Is it on YouTube yet, though?
Yes, it is.
Okay, good. I'll find it there.
I'd look under October 2011.
Okay.
And the police in Washington, D.C. Began to pepper spray and crack down, and he filmed
that
it.
I heard about. That I did hear about.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah,
they attacked a group of protesters who were outside of the Space Museum or something. And, it was typical, unneeded, bull crap and unnecessary. And nobody was getting out of line or anything, but they got pepper sprayed anyways. Just typical oppression behavior, you know.
Well, and as David is pointing out in the chat room, he's saying they're starting to get scared, and I would think he's talking about the establishment, the corporate entity that, hovers over all on corporate earth.
Right.
They're starting to get scared, and they're looking for the agent provocateurs and false images.
Oh, sure. But they're not going to find them because they're all anonymous, That's the great thing about it. And the nice thing is, this is so widespread, so fast, that it's going to be impossible. I mean, it's taking them, it's knocking them right off their feet. They don't know what to make of this. It's unlike anything that's ever happened before. And the scale that it's on right now, so widespread and so deep and so broad, it's encompassing so many voting blocks, it blows them away.
It's beyond American borders. It's way beyond that.
Exactly. Yeah.
And
it's universal.
No matter that and on the 15th, by the 15th of this month, there will be a day of rage, as they call them, or, get up and occupy globally. And that's why the list on OccupyTogether.org is growing so exponentially and so quick. I mean, there are cities in Russia.
Oh yeah.
Korea. It's astounding.
Well, the last time I looked, which was early yesterday or midday yesterday, I think it was over 1,200 cities so far, and it's growing every day.
Well, it certainly is. And now among the people that are joining, many of them are everybody is so sincere in all of this. And Naomi Klein was telling us at the opening, the corporate powers, the corporate entities are just, they're fizzling over this. in a way, they've thought that it was going to recede back, but in the last 10 days, that has changed considerably, and they realize that something is going on that they're going to have to counter, but nothing has been done yet.
Yeah, it's bigger than they are, and that they can't quite fathom that. Yeah,
it's been 99%, and I have a little piece here to play of Naomi on right after she gave that mic check speech at Occupation Wall Street at Occupy Wall Street getting it here. And here we go.
On about it. Which side of this argument do you fall on?
You know, it isn't exactly a movement yet. It's a moment. Mm-hmm. It's a howl against inequality. It's a space that has been created that is sufficiently open that it's allowing people to find each other. It's allowing a movement to find itself, to find its footing. It would be very silly at this point to come up with a list of demands before this movement knows what it's capable of. The extent of those demands really depends on how powerful this movement is. As the genius of making the slogan "We are the 99%" is, you know, the sky's the limit. Really, it could include everyone except for a very small sliver of society. So why not wait and see how big this is? Because you know, if this is a relatively small movement, then their demands need to be small.
Right.
But if it's a big movement, they can dream big. We can dream big. So. The other thing is I think we have been, I call it NGO-ized, in the sense that there isn't really an organized left in this country anymore. It's been beat up by decades of witch hunts and McCarthyism and attacks on trade unions, which are really the backbone of the institutional progressive movement. So people are really in the rubble of those decades of attacks, and they're starting the process of rebuilding. So we've become used to NGOs with very strict, the media trained, they've got their demands, they've got their messages. What they don't have is a base. So there's no shortage of groups that have all kinds of very specific demands about what should happen with Wall Street and what should happen with the tax system. But they are not, they don't have power because a group that's working for income redistribution is never going to be funded by large corporations. So we have to work, as my friend Bill McKibben says, in a different kind of currency.
Right.
And that currency is bodies and energy and passion. And that's what the left hasn't had in trying to be so slick and sort of using the methods of corporations to communicate.
Wonk.
No offense, Ezra. I know
right,
you're like
no,
king
I
of the wonk,
no,
and
no,
I don't want to offend you.
I know. I mean, I'm all for white papers and graphs, but, you know, I do a lot of those, and I can't say they get all that much done. They're good for a blog, but you need a lot in a movement. But that actually goes to a question about the other side of it, which is to say, when I was down there yesterday, I actually found a lot of Wall Streeters walking through, lingering on the edges, sort of trying to figure out what this meant for them. Did you see much of that? Do you get that feeling there's sort of an interfacing there, some type of odd type of engagement?
There was a youngish woman standing on a street corner in front of Occupy Wall Street, holding a sign, I saw her yesterday, that said, increase my taxes.
Right.
And I went up to her and I said, you know, who are you? And she said, I work over there. And she worked in a big corporate law firm. She didn't want to say which one. And she wants her taxes to go up. And she's identifying with the social justice demands.
Yeah.
And she said something really interesting to me. She said, in my spare time, I work on immigrant rights issues.
Right.
And all we ever hear about is how there's not enough in this country. There's not enough money for decent health care and decent housing. And there's not enough space to treat immigrants decently. And I just realized it's just such a stroke of organizing genius once again to counter that discourse of scarcity, which is all we hear from Washington, the whole discussion about the deficit, to go to the site of maximal abundance,
right,
which just puts the lie to it. It is not a scarcity problem. It's a distribution problem, and it's really hard to argue against that when you're right down in the belly of the beast.
Mm-hmm. Naomi Klein, author of The Shock Doctrine and bearer of a truly wonderful last name. Thank you for being here.
Thanks, Mr.
That's a really poignant way of putting it.
That was outstanding. She is so on top of the game. It isn't even funny. She's fabulous. And she nailed it.
Yeah, I think she always has been.
She's a real bright spot on the horizon that we progressives can always look forward to because she's out of sight.
Which reminds me of something I was going to mention on the show today. There are a lot of really wonderful people out there within the Occupy movement, and many of them are progressive or Democrat. They fill those colors. And I noticed it a little bit, not a little bit, but a large bit. But here's the thing, it was like 50-50. Noticing that in the group, the progressives and liberal Democrats, many are still holding out hope that Obama will be, you know, the guy they hoped he would be, and others are like, oh, get over it kind of thing.
Yeah.
I suppose I'm one of the get over it.
Hard to imagine that he's going to be anything different, radically different than he is right now. I think he's already shown his true colors. And
I know. They think that he will, support this movement. Yeah. And
well,
I,
he'll give
my,
lip service
my
to
answer.
It, probably. He might give lip service to it, but he won't do much.
Yeah, basically my answer is, yeah, like he supported the unions.
Yeah, right,
and that
exactly.
just shuts it down because he doesn't support it. But we have to support one another in the Occupy group. So
that's right, very true.
Yeah, so it's you know, this is not about politics. This is about enough. And it's a movement. It's like Gore has been trying to, you know, Vice President Gore, Al Gore has been trying to tell people about getting awareness up for climate change. I think he's quite right when he says, you know, when the civil rights, Great Society, all of that was going on and the marching was going on and the terrible things were happening, it became the thing to say, you know, when someone began to speak on the side of segregation and a lack of support for civil rights or bigotry or xenophobic stuff, it began to be the right thing to do to say, hey, that offends me. Don't speak about it that way because I think it's ignorant and it's against my values.
Right.
It's like saying to somebody, you know, call somebody by an ethnic slur. Please don't do it in my presence. And I think that Al Gore is completely right when he says we should be doing that about climate change.
Really about any issue that is a corporate issue that's being used against the people. People should just stand up and say make their stand and say something about it. They don't have to rant and rave. They don't have to hit people with signs, which they're not doing anyway. But, I mean, they don't have to get crazy about it. All they have to do is just say, hey, no, I'm not going to go along with that because I don't believe that's the case, and here's why. And that's all they have to do.
Well, it's quite true. And the thing we really need to do is be peaceful and wonderful with each other and support each other in these groups.
Like they all have been. Isn't that great?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Nobody has really, everybody has stepped away from any kind of confrontation and said, you know what, we're all in this for the same direction, the same goals. And it's quite true. Enough is enough. And this is like Naomi Klein was saying in Wall Street, and they were OWSing her, that wonderful, glorious, beautiful democracy they have, which is mic check. They basically, she said, this is way beyond it's expanded way beyond the borders of the United States. It's Canada, it's Mexico, it's Argentina, it's Denmark, it's
well, this 1% phenomenon isn't just monopolized by the United States. We've got a ton of 1%ers, even though they're only 1% of the population. But, I mean, you look across the the Middle East. You look all over the world, and there's at the very top, there's always people that want to hold everybody down. And it may be Marxist. I don't care what people want to call it. It's a fact. And that's what's going on, and the 99% below are fed up with it across the world, and they're starting to raise hell about it. And where it's going to go, we don't know.
There's no reason for the scarcity. Kevin,
right.
You are online. You are online, Kevin.
Hi, Kevin.
Okay. How you doing?
Good. How's everything going there?
Great.
Good.
You know, I'm hoping to be in New York on the weekend, but I even attended our little one here. Believe it or not, even here in Utah.
Good.
You would not believe how many people turned out the last couple of days.
Fabulous. What was your attendance like?
Well, right now down there, I was down there yesterday, but there was probably 500-600, but I understand
great.
There's, I don't know if this for a fact today, but I've heard upwards of 1,200-1,500.
Well, that's fabulous.
Wow. A lot of people don't realize this, that in Utah, Salt Lake City is the countercultural city to this place. You know how far
right.
red we are.
Right.
And we have an openly gay mayor,
mm-hmm.
and
okay.
we have a huge gay population. We have a lot of progressives in this, more than people think. John Huntsman came out of the University of Utah and
mm-hmm.
out of that group. You know, the only reason he labeled himself as a Republican here, they just checked the elephant. He really is a progressive. He's the guy who blocked the tailings coming from Europe to our West Desert. These Kool-Aid freaks they'll do anything for a buck. He blocked it. Of course, he's gone
yeah.
now. But
right.
But you know, this movement right now. I listened to Cornel West speak on John King on CNN. I've been keeping an eye on the corporate media machine to see how they try to twist and manipulate this.
Yeah,
so
I haven't watched John King in so many months. It'd be interesting to see what his spin was on it.
I'm a social economist, and what I like to do is, Fox, forget it. Bad
yeah.
publicity to us from them is good publicity. But
mm-hmm.
I like to keep an eye on how the media, because this really has turned into one massive populist movement.
Oh yeah.
As it moves forward, I want to see their angle. Yeah. I want to see the angle of how they twist it, because, they're passive-aggressive guru experts at, killing these things.
Oh, yeah.
And
they do
Cornell,
twist it, there's no doubt.
He had Cornell on there the other night, West, who's been in my sight, and he spoke so beautifully and so eloquently about this, and I haven't been able to get a hold of him. But,
He's right on the money.
He is. Us as middle-aged baby boomers,
mm-hmm.
the progressives who have stayed in this fight the entire time,
right.
it's really so important for us to stay with this and blend into this, so this just isn't the 20 and the 30-year-old thing. This really, it's so important for us to educate as far as what happened in the 60s or even the 30s. This is a big movement, the protest movement. I always say the teabagger movement is quintessential on how not to run one.
Exactly.
Let the corporate machine let the lobbyists take it over. But we need to educate as much as we can.
Well, a lot of those people were brainwashed and fed a line of bullshit by the Koch brothers and Dick Armey,
yep.
and they went along with it out of fear. The people that are taking part in this movement know the score. They know what's going on for the most part. And they're completely different. They're a completely different group of people because they are.
Well, the guys who originally went down to Wall Street and occupied it, the small group of guys, they've
mm-hmm.
been in my sight from day one. We've been communicating back and forth. They found me via Fukushima, which a lot of people found me that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been communicating back and forth with those guys from the day they went down there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just, they are the second greatest generation. They're just smart.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
right.
like I said, I really believe the Tea Party organization, I really think that was orchestrated by the gun lobby and other lobbies. I really do.
It was.
I think that was the grassroots.
No, not at all. Not at all.
They call it astroturfing, and that's
right.
exactly what it was. It was paid out.
That's
but
what
the
it
people,
was, wasn't it?
It was set up by Dick Armey and the Koch brothers and all those far-right guys with big pockets or access to big amounts of money, and they wanted to influence things, and they, you know, ended up taking over the House of Representatives. But their reign's going to be short-lived because they're going to get their asses thrown out 2012.
Oh,
well,
yes. This is 1933 all over again.
Yeah, man.
Look what they've put into office. I mean, I'm dealing with the likes of
good Lord.
What's
insane.
His name?
I know.
Alan West.
Oh,
it's
God.
Ridiculous. It's
He's
ridiculous.
Crazy.
Oh, yeah. He's completely
guys,
freaking
we have another. We actually have another caller online, and I'd like to open
okay.
it up while
yeah.
we're here. 404 area code. Caller,
oh,
you're on live.
That's Atlanta, I think.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, who's
Hi.
There?
Hi.
Hello.
What's on your mind there?
404. The 404 area code. You're open. Your mic is open. Hello. No. Well, you know, it could be somebody just listening.
Oh, that could be.
My YouTube channel, the one thing that we have on our side in this movement is we have all the best IT minds in the world, where the other side doesn't. I have, the kids call them trolls.
Mm-hmm.
And what a troll is, do you guys know what a troll is on the internet?
Okay,
I've got a bunch of trolls that come in and they masquerade. You know how YouTube is, everybody doesn't use their real name or whatever, you know, handle, so okay. Oh, you ought to see these young freaking guys go at them. They see, try to even sneak anything. They freaking go at them. So, you know, the internet is our tool. It is our strength, and we got it, and they don't. The other side
right.
does not have it.
It's the global consciousness, really.
Mm-hmm.
It's the global consciousness, and it's enabled us to all work in unity.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't really understand just how much communication. I think that people
Amazing.
Who don't understand are the people who are conservative by nature. They don't want to change. You understand
right.
what I mean?
They're afraid
it's
to.
Good.
Yeah, the Harvard study comes out and says it's a mental illness. Have you read that Harvard study that they got done last year about the conservative mind versus the liberal mind?
No, it sounds great,
no.
though.
Oh, it's something. It really is something. It's something you're born with, and it talks about the mental flaw of freaking the you know, the cerebral cortex going down to basic fears of fear and greed, and it can't
I believe
process
it.
Enough. And
I believe it.
And it's a study. I do, too. I really do.
Yeah.
And so they play on those people, you know, and they dummy down.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think? They're dummying down to the education system for 30 years. There's got to be a
mm-hmm.
byproduct from that, and the Tea
oh,
Party
yeah.
is the byproduct.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, the dumbing down is something that's been going on.
The media reinforces it so much. It's just unreal. The media is terrible that way.
My socioeconomic study goes in and shows a school teacher in the United States, well, right here where I live, in 1965, in today's dollars, made $106,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Now they make $36,000.
Right.
You know,
right.
there's going to be a consequence for that, and this what
oh,
we've
yeah.
had now, you know.
Well, we've all lost ground.
Tomorrow.
Trickle-down
yeah.
economics has been a disaster, and we've all lost ground. We have not gained
Absolutely.
A damn thing from that terrible, Cuban-esque policy.
It's been nothing but redistribution of wealth to the top.
That's
all
exactly
this has
right.
been. The rest has purely been semantics. The rest has
right.
all been semantics.
Right.
It's
quite true.
They,
it is quite true. I want to remind folks who are listening that, you know, the folks at Occupy Wall Street, they're still at Liberty Plaza. They are still occupying there, although the crowd has grown so big
yeah.
that they are now filling Washington Square Park. If you know New York, it's not a huge park.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say it is, Kevin? An acre?
Block, square block. It's
square
right on the
block,
NYU campus.
Block.
It's
yeah,
it's a
small
solid
block.
Block. It is.
And
you know, really close. You know, Manhattan, lower Manhattan down there. I lived there for years. My daughter's right in lower Manhattan. She's down at protests every day. But I was on Wall Street for years. It's not that far away. It's, you know, less, probably about a mile is from where one from the other. You know, Manhattan's a small place, and, you know, Lower Manhattan and the West Village, Greenwich right there, and Washington Park. Washington Park is where the Shirtwaist Fire was 100 years ago. It's where the Gay Pride March was born. It's where Jackson Pollock's
A3
Studio was.
Yeah.
All that, right there. So it's the natural place to evolve. I've been talking about
it's
it for over
American
a year now.
It's an American vortex. It's an American vortex of change.
That's a way to put it.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
These guys down at Occupy Wall Street, all of them, I want to always keep it up, even on our regular Sunday show. I want to let folks know that you can send them. They need boxes of energy bars badly. Please send. They need socks really badly. Please send. They could use those, you know, bed rolls that you can buy through, you know, online for very inexpensive. They need them badly. Please send them. They need homeopathy. They cannot, their medics cannot give them any pharmaceutical. So there's no ibuprofen or aspirin or Tylenol. So they need homeopathic arnica, belladonna, and rescue remedy. The stamina of their immune systems, come on, it's the fall. Things are getting chilly.
Yeah, you can send this. You can find out where to send this at OccupyWallStreet.org, and it's Wall Street, you know, with the S-T, W-A-L-L-S-T.org.
Well, Jack, I can tell them just where to send it.
Okay,
exactly.
Go for it. Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
It's in care of Occupy Wall Street, and it's at 118A Fulton Street, number 205. That's 118A, as in Apple, Fulton Street, number 205. You're sending it to the Up Store. We got to love Brown.
New York.
10038, and that's 10038 in New York, New York. And as Jack said, you can go to the OccupyTogether.org site, and it'll send you. They also need toothpaste and toothbrushes. These are items we take for granted every day.
Right.
Some of these people have come. Please really know, folks, some of these people have come from as far away as, you know, bumfuck Egypt. I said it, okay?
Yeah.
And when I say that, I mean like,
they've
you
come
know,
from
Kansas,
near and far.
Ohio, yeah.
Yeah,
there's a guy right here that's living out in the middle of the boonies in Utah that'll be there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Right.
I'll be there this weekend, but there's people, like I said, it's turned into quite an eclectic mix.
And if you are going to be coming in to Occupy Wall Street to spend a couple of days, and people are doing this now as a pilgrimage to be a part of history.
Yeah, cool.
If you are going, please don't think about, you know, having that extra 100 or 200 bucks to go out to dinner in New York. Spend it on goods to bring along with you and say, hey, I'm here. Where's the kitchen or where's the, you know, supply hut? Here's what I've got to offer, and I want to be with you for a couple of days. I can't think of anything more outstanding to do with your vacation right now than to, you know, grab a bunch of supplies at the Army and Navy and take them with you and go to Occupy Wall Street and spend a few days and nights with the people there.
And let's keep in mind the October 2011 movement's going on in Washington, D.C. as well. And that's got a lot of activity coming up this week.
Oh, that's right. I forgot all about that. And it's
October2011.org.
That's right.
Dr. Flowers, Kevin Sinise, Chris Hedges, they're going to have people like Amy Goodman. And Amy Goodman is giving so much attention. Thank gosh she's covering Occupy Wall Street.
Yep.
I mean, what would we do? But there's also that other guy. And props should go, big kudos should go to Keith Olbermann.
Keith Olbermann, yep, that's right.
Oh, yes,
on
absolutely.
Current TV, he's fabulous. He's the only guy, only outside of Amy Goodman on Democracy Now!, he's the only guy on television consistently covering the Occupy movements. It's fabulous. And he does it in an intelligent way with probing questions and good analyzation. He's fabulous.
My
well,
daughter lives in Lower Manhattan.
Shit.
And she's friends with Amy Goodman. And I'll be probably communicating with her while I'm back there.
Great.
You know, and like I said, I think it's important that us old geezers stay freaking influenced as far as the education and the path. And I think the next 30 to 60 days are going to be so key in this movement.
Oh,
that
yeah.
That it stays grassroots. And because these political co-ops and these corporation co-ops, like I said, they're not just rolling over. They're going to try every dirty trick from the media. I was watching CNN the other day, and because I was interested, because I'm an ex-Wall Street guy, and I seen Aaron Burnett, who's from CNBC, who's an ex-Saks employee, got a new show. So I really wanted to watch her debut show. She has Donald Trump. She goes down there and finds the most haywire, and she tries to completely delegitimize. It was the most horrific thing you've seen. And I know how they play, and I'm like, so I did a video the other day and got attention. I have two different CNN producer and another company producer who wanted to put me on last year on the Fukushima thing, and they got sent down. But they communicate with me back and forth, and I tell them all the time, I says, you guys throw your hat in the ring with this 1%, and you think you are the 1% as a reporter work for this corporate media? Good luck. You are not them. They're using you up just like they did everybody else. And this is who's going to look bad? You are the face of the one. You want to be the face of the 1%? Would you want to be the face of the 1%?
Well,
way to go, Kevin.
Here's the point. The point is that the MSM right now, by the way, Here Be Monsters is an everyday on, we are on air in solidarity with Occupy Wall Street, and down here, my anchor, Occupy Lake Worth. We're in solidarity with them. We're on every day in direct boycott of the MSM media to tell the truth and keep the facts going.
Right.
I think
this corporate animal that exists, the relationship between the credit scoring agencies, the banks, Wall Street, the whole menagerie of this corporate, the media is as much to blame. The corporate media industrial or corporate machine is the key problem here. The number one problem.
It's failing the country in a big way.
You know, in the old days, these guys used to go in and bribe, you know, newspaper reporters. These guys have just, it's no different than now. They just bought and taken over the popular opinion media, and they've shamed and groomed popular opinion.
Well, if there is a Upton Sinclair, if there is a Edward Murrow, it would be Keith Olbermann, who has kept a very honest and open and adroit. I mean, he's willing to, you know, walk the progressive line. He's not a lefty, if you will. He's being very honest and very balanced with his reporting, which is what you cannot find at the place he was at, you know, where they do the BP commercials and tell you to come to the Gulf States to get poisoned.
Yeah, between BP commercials and American insurance and all that stuff, it's crazy.
Well,
yeah, my video is crazy because here comes my, because I have an AdSense agreement, you know, and I, here come my logo showing up, and here I'll be granting off, going off about these guys, and it'll be a BP income. I think it's a funny metaphor. I donate, just so people know, every single dime on my YouTube site, every penny that I generate, which isn't a lot, there's some, I donate to two different organizations. I am the biggest donator to the Atomic Veterans in the world.
Great.
And the second thing, I donate to SesameWorkshop.org. Because the metaphor to this whole movement is my Sesame Street hat that I've worn this whole time and my Sesame Street shirt, and I won't take them off because when the debate got right down last spring and backed into the wall, what did these crazy corporate monsters want to cut? PBS. They wanted to kill Bert and Ernie when it got down to the nitty-gritty. That was, you know, I'm like, so that's my metaphor to it, and that's where all my money goes, every penny of it, every dime of it goes.
Yeah.
There.
Good for you.
But we've gained nothing from all this corporate influence. It has absolutely strangled the government. It's strangled the media, and it's strangling the population. This is just a disgusting development, and that's why we're out on the streets like we are, and that's why everybody's raising hell, because they know the difference between bullshit and truth.
Yeah, finally, the Internet has gave us Earth.
Yes.
Well, the internet, and it's taken years for people to come to realization.
30 years.
And the critical number is not met yet, but the critical nucleus has been all across this country and all across the planet. And it's our job, even if it's just this little kitchen table production of Blog Talk Radio that goes on for 2 hours every day, it's our job to basically set the standard for information going out and people getting to know what this is
right.
all about. I also want to remember here to send kudos and thank yous to all of my fellow writers over at Roundtree 7, and that's what the
number. Oh yeah, they do a great job.
But both of you are contributing writers,
right.
and they've been backing me up with this, and this is sponsored by Roundtree 7.
Right.
And also, you want to go over to Roundtree 7 this week and check out the video that Krell or David has created that tells the story with music and pictures.
Great.
Of the Wall Street buildup so far. It's stunning. It's
yeah.
a stunning piece of art. It really
Very
is.
Good.
Please go over to
Roundtree7.com. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, and one other group of people that people don't realize or they just don't say anything that never get mentioned but deserve foundational props and thank yous, and that would be to the Vancouver group, Adbusters, who
mm-hmm.
actually are the architects down deep, who sent out all of the, you know, Occupy information and were the ones who said go occupy, and people did, and
yeah.
they are of course I don't think people realize they are the group Anonymous. They
mm-hmm.
are good people. They are the
yeah.
truthful group,
right?
So I think
high
that
integrity.
Remembering that, yes,
yep.
they do.
Now, Jack,
and
you're up in Minnesota,
activist.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Now. Well, you know, I didn't get a lot of, but I got a little bit of, Jesse the Body freaking showing up to you guys. How'd that play out up there?
Well, he came out right before I arrived the first day of Occupy Minnesota, and he spoke very briefly along with the Minneapolis mayor, who spoke very briefly too, but then they got out of there real quick, so I didn't even have a chance to hear him or see him, but I knew he was there because people were talking about it a little bit. So
yeah, the lamestream media was...
Well, you know, he's been a controversial figure.
Oh,
as
yeah.
governor,
yeah,
his favorite quote was, as a governor, he used to say, when I'm in the boardroom, I don't want to be in there with a Democrat, and when I'm in the bedroom, I don't want to be in there with a Republican. So that was the way he summed up the difference between the two parties.
I was telling Gwen this earlier where... He did legitimize with me because, you know, I've always took him with a grain of salt. But
right.
he was on Larry King one yeah. night here a few years ago, and he says, yeah, you know, he's got a conspiracy show. And he's like, yeah, Larry, did you know that when they killed Abraham Lincoln that there was a conspiracy? It's like he's breaking news. I was like, did you skip the fifth grade, dude? You know, I'm like, wow. You know, he really thought this was new news.
Yeah,
he really
well,
honestly did.
Oh,
and
God.
I'm like, good God,
yeah,
this
well,
guy
see,
was an influential. He was
do,
popping
you
to
do,
Minnesota.
No. He's not typical of Minnesotans, really, in the least.
Well, you guys got Michelle Bachmann. You got Tim Pawlenty when you used to have West, you know, and Humphrey.
Yeah, we also produced Walter Mondale and Keith Ellison.
Oh, you had.
And we've got a lot on both sides, you know. But
you guys had some great politicians for generations.
We did, and then all of a sudden the Republican scum came in and kind of screwed everything up. But
what's the one that got killed in the plane wreck not very long ago?
Oh, Paul Wellstone was fabulous,
I loved
man.
I love him. He
was
awesome.
He was out of sight. That guy was number one.
He was great.
He had far too short a career. And
yeah,
he's a very brilliant man, no doubt about it. And what a tragedy, a national tragedy, that he went down the way he did. That was
terrible.
I don't
know if you know this. You probably know this, but a lot of political social scientists really keep an eye on Minnesota. They really
yeah.
do.
Right, right.
It's kind of like Allentown, Pennsylvania used to be. It's evolved
mm-hmm.
that way. And if you see their politics swaying one way or the other, it's really a great indicator of where politics are going in America.
Right.
Of course,
well,
we know where they went.
Minnesota began as a very Republican state, but Hubert Humphrey changed that in the late 1940s.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yes. We voted Republican.
I don't know about Humphrey growing up, but...
Yeah, we voted Republican nonstop, man, until Hubert Humphrey finally, he united the labor unions with the farmers, and he turned it into what the Democratic Party here was turned into, the Democratic Farmer Labor Party, and it still carries those initials today, DFL. And he did that, and it led to a very decades-long dominance of the Democratic Party, the liberal Democratic Party, over the conservative Republicans here for many, many years. Now, as Reagan ruined the whole country, he ruined part of Minnesota as well, and from that time on, you've had a lot more Republican strength here, too. And,
yeah, the whole country shifted in 1980. The Great Conservative Movement was born.
Yeah,
you know,
Utah
right here, believe it or not, people don't believe it right here. You know, when I grew up, this was a Democrat stronghold. We had a Democratic
right.
governor. The Mormon Church president, for the only time in its history in the 50s and 60s, had a liberal president. You know, our senators, both our senators were Democrats. Our governor was a Democrat.
Right.
You know, and then it's like I said, when Reagan took over, it flipped the whole country on its head.
He did. That's right. Yeah. He stole a lot of Democratic votes and
you know,
turned them into conservatives.
You know what the bankers, what the 1% do not want to hear coming out of a chant in Wall Street right now is?
Okay.
Hey, you guys are talking around it with all of your – I can hear the construction when you talk about the way it began with Reagan and everything and the history of it. Basically, the 1% does not want to hear the chant re-regulate going on down there.
Well, that's exactly what we need. So I say re-regulate, re-regulate.
You know, I was there. I left in the 90s. I went to Spitzer. I had a personal relationship with Spitzer. I was a trader.
Yeah.
I was on Wall Street right down there for years.
And
I watched the corruption firsthand. I was very successful. I watched the corruption firsthand. Those guys broke a trade on me. And a lot of people don't know this. You know, and this is what I'm going to talk about when I go back to New York. I'm trying to schedule it. Wall Street for years has orchestrated an apparatus to backdoor due process and the Bill of Rights. If you open a brokerage account, you go work in the industry, or you own a 401k, people don't know this. 100% they have colluded. You have to sign an arbitration clause. So you can't sue.
Yeah.
So you have to go to arbitration. Guess who owns the arbitration boards? They do. And I had a suit. It was a slam dunk, home run case. Charles Schwab had robbed me on a broken trade, a couple hundred thousand. I had a good lawyer. Went to arbitration. Supposed to rule within 2 days. It went for months. And my lawyer says, I got a call from the top arbitration guy. And he says, I'll deny this if it's ever, you know, I'm ever put under oath or anything. I'll tell you right now. He told me, he says, Kevin won this case, slam dunk, but we're going to rule against him because this will freaking open the floodgates.
That's
how
bad.
Much control, and people don't. This is the corruption that they exist there.
Oh,
it
it's thoroughly corrupt.
Highway robbery,
well,
and
it's still
people's 401
k's.
You know, people
I
need
really
to give them their 401k. It's
people
get your money
people
out.
People need to invest in one another. I think at this point, gentlemen, I hate to break it up, but we've got to because I'm actually on the Progressive News Network tonight. Afterwards, we've got about 4 minutes here. There's one little bitty piece I want to play at the end. Hey, Kevin. Thanks so much
thanks.
For stopping in with us today, and I hope you'll call in this week. Remember, 4 to 6, we're on.
I will.
Here.
And if anybody's out
Monday
there, I'll be in New York, and so you know, get on my YouTube site. I'll list all my information. Let's communicate so we can organize a few of us back there and brainstorm.
You could even
bit.
Call into the show from Wall Street.
I'll do it.
Yeah,
I will. I'll do it.
You can do
down
that.
There. Important. I will. I'll call
and
down there.
Great.
Jack, I want to thank you so much for being
you
with
bet.
Me today.
Thank you, Gwen.
I hope you'll be back. You'll be with me perhaps this week if you've got the time.
Yeah, we will at some point. Yep.
And I want to thank everybody for listening. I want you all to remember that address for shipping anything over to Occupy Wall Street to these folks who need so much. It's the Up Store, and in care of Occupy Wall Street. It's 118A, as in Apple, A Fulton Street, number 205, New York, New York, 10038. And you can find more information at the OccupyTogether.org site. Jack Jodell and Kevin Blanche have been with us tonight. Thanks, guys, so much.
Thank you, Glenn.
Hey, I'm gonna leave off with a little recording by one of our good friends, Jack Cherie Voigtland, and
great.
What she had to say about everything that has been happening in the world in the last year and a half.
Great.
And perhaps it gives us some idea of why conclusions have been made the way they have and why things are sparking. Anyways, this has been Here Be Monsters for Sunday. We have been supported by and we're sponsored by Roundtree 7, and that's the number 7.com. Jack Jodell of the Saturday Afternoon Post blog. Just Google it and you'll find him. And thank you, everybody. And that would be our Sunday show. I will sign off with a little recording here from Cherie.
Talk to you soon.
One thing that I think is important is democracy. What's the number one thing, the number one person that I can get information to and change this and make this better? And at that time, I actually thought it was the President of the United States. I believe that if I, as an American citizen, as a voting person who have always done the right thing, always worked, always took care of my kids, I pay my taxes, I do exactly what I'm supposed to do, that if I called out to the President of the United States in earnest, that he would hear me. So I called out to him on CNN.
I'm asking you, sir, as a patriot and as an honorable person, to come and hear our stories and hear the pain that we are in.
I needed to know at that point if my country and what I believed about my country was real, and I got my answer. It's not. It's not. We no longer are a free society. The corporations are the people, and we're under them. I have no voice. That was the lesson. What do you do if no one will hear you? You scream louder and louder and louder, and you stomp your feet, and nobody will still hear you? That's the most helpless feeling in the world. And that's what everybody in this whole situation has felt from the beginning. That's the tragedy of it. It's not just the fact that we lost our culture, we lost our livelihood, we lost endless amounts of wildlife. We lost our voice. In order to secure a future for our next generation, we are going to have to change the fight. Do it like Martin Luther King Jr. did, and understand that the rights of a human for clean air and clean water are equally as important as their civil rights. I will not, under any circumstances, let my baby grow up in a world where greed and money is more important than their life. I will not do it. And I don't care if nobody stands behind me. I don't care what happens. That president, that person, the Congress, I don't care what I have to do. They are going to hear us.
Good night, folks. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it, and we'll be back tomorrow in solidarity with Occupy Wall Street. That was Cherie Voigtland from changethegulf.org.
Solidarity.